moves from the topic God and government to God and the family. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, of believers being in subjection to the government, and he said the Lord Jesus Christ is the best illustration of putting up with wrongs. He was sinless, no sin in him. All our sins were put to his account. He put up with all these wrongs, and Peter assumes substitutionary atonement. Jesus died in our place. He carried, bore our sins. So while he's talking about God and government, we spent a lot of time about substitutionary atonement last week. He died for us. In Matthew 20 and Mark 10, the word anti is used, which means substitute. Like an antichrist is a substitute Christ. He died anti us in our place. 1 Peter 3 begins with the phrase, in the same way. In the same way as being obedient to the government, wives be in subjection to your husband. In the same way as the workplace, be submissive to authority, wives in the same way. Verses 1 through 6 concern wives. Verse 7 concerns husbands. But to figure them out, we will use both sections. I'll read both sections at the same time. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of the wife, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair or wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of the Lord. For in this way, in former times, the holy women, who also hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Verse 7, you husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. Grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Verse 7, we'll command husbands to understand, also to grant honor. To understand assumes communication. It serves to understand what her thoughts are before making any major decision. Much of the small stuff is done without talking about it. Don't have a family conference on, shall we buy a bottle of pickles and stuff like that. Just none of that stuff matters. But if there's an important decision, seems like there ought to be understanding and communication about it. The husband has top authority, but many verses on talking things out. What about moving? What about selling the house? What about optional expenses that are quite expensive? James 1:9, be quick to hear, slow to speak, but quick to hear, talking about things, communication. Proverbs 18:13, he who gives an answer before he hears is a shame to him. We can't spend much more time on communication. We have to get back to husbands and wives. But verse 7 assumes communications, assumes understanding, assumes respect. Much of the time, both of them will agree if they talk it out. If they don't agree, some of the time it can wait. But when something has to be decided and something has to be done right now, whether they agree or not, the husband has a prior authority. Verse 1 even teaches about unsaved husbands obeying them. There can be times when a husband's authority disagrees with God's greater commandment, especially with unsaved husbands. And then we ought to obey God rather than man. But much of the time, it's not telling something about against God's commands. One time, a man asked a woman to help sell drugs and to steal things. Now, I read about that in a Christian magazine. Didn't encounter that, but that's kind of like a husband commanding something that's against God's higher authority. Then we ought to obey God rather than men. But much of the time, it's not a crime, not something that's right and wrong. Submit. There was a counseling back in the office, did not involve anybody who's ever gone here. They never even visited here. But they wanted to have a family counseling about whether the kids can have cake. She did not want them to eat cake. Dad wanted them to eat cake. We can talk about the pros and cons of cake, or how often cake and how much cake, but there was no Bible verse, "Thou shalt not eat cake." So I told her, "You can tell him what you think is best, but after that, if he wants to feed the kids cake, he can feed the kids cake." In the Bible, there's lots of Bible verses about the husband having final authority. Communicate, but many verses about husbands having final authority. Old Testament, right after the fall in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:16, to the woman, he, God said, he, Adam, shall rule over you. So God said to her, Adam shall rule over you. Paul was single. He was a traveling missionary, but he did write many verses on marriage. 1 Corinthians 11:3, the man is the head of a woman. 1 Corinthians 14:34, but let the woman be subject to the man just also as is written in the law. Ephesians 5:22 through 24, which we just read for our scripture reading. Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands as Christ is the head of the church. Now, very often it has the word own in it. Your own husbands. The Greek for own is idios, like idiosyncrasy. The Bible does not teach all men are in authority over all women. It's not as if every single woman is under the authority of any man. But the Bible does talk about husbands and wives. Relative to their value, they are equal before God. But when there are marriages, then the husbands have authority. In Galatians 3:26, Paul said, "You are all sons, all children of God." Two verses later, Galatians 3:22, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ." Well, compared to equality, compared to value before God, there is neither male nor female. But of course, there is male or female, and in a marriage, they have equal value, but the position of the wife is under her husband. The Bible does not teach that all women are under all men, but a wife is under her own husband. Ephesians 5:33, let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. Colossians 3:18, wives be subject to your own husband as it is fitting. Relative to, say, church positions, we have in 1 Timothy 2:12-13, I do not allow a woman to teach or have authority over a man. Now, that's a little bit different than marriage, but it's saying I don't allow a woman, any woman. It doesn't just say the. It doesn't just say I do not allow a wife to teach her husband. I do not allow a woman to have authority over any man. In the Bible, that's the way church leadership is. And we don't have women being pastors or elders. The Bible does have a deaconess. Her name was Phoebe. Romans 16. So in value before God, men and women are equal. A single woman is not under any man, but when there is marriage, then she is under his authority. Again, they should talk things out. Very often they will agree, but when a decision has to be made quickly, the husbands have authority. The illustration in the Bible is God the Son was submissive to God the Father, actually comparing Jesus to a wife being subjection to her husband. The man is the head of a woman as God is the head of Christ. Quite an illustration. The Son of God is compared to a wife. As it is fitting, we've read a couple times about marriage, as it is fitting, Colossians 3:18. Outside the Bible, that word is used of allegiance. It's actually used of guardians of children. Take care of the children. Be a guardian to them as it is fitting. So that would be normally enough about marriage, and we would move on, but the next part that we've already read about 1 Peter 3 is about clothing, adornment. The Greek word around here is actually cosmetics. Cosmetics is a word family related to adornment. So we'll move from marriage relationships to a little bit about that. Outside adornment need not be bad, but what Peter is saying is not of the most important. It's not of the top level to have adornment. So, you know, okay, fine. Do good hair, dress up, wear good shoes. It's just not as important as what is on the inside. And concerning what is in the inside, he talked about all the Old Testament women in verse 5, having adornment, cosmetics. All the Old Testament women would be a long list. Rebecca, Rachel, Ruth, Esther. All of them that were married were submitted to their husbands. Submit here is the word hupotasso. And we don't know hupotasso, but we do know hupo. It's like a hypodermic needle under the skin. So that's the original word for under. This verse is saying wives are under their husbands. That's used all over the Bible. It's used in all of these illustrations also. Children are under their parents. Servants are under their masters. Citizens are under their government. Angels are under Christ. Demons are also in submission to the apostles. The apostles could throw them out of people. References to death being under, in subjection to Christ. We are in subjection to the laws of God. So the word under is used a lot of times. Submit. A couple should have communication. Much of the time they'll agree, but the husband has higher rank. If they talk about things and something has to be done and they don't agree yet, then the husband has authority, like children to parents, like Christians to the government, like angels to God, like the church to God. Some modern people, feminists, have said that the curse has been lifted. Therefore, the subjection of Eve to Adam no longer applies because the curse has been lifted. But the order of Eve being subject to Adam did not start with a curse. It started before the curse. It was the order of marriage that God made before there was sin. That's the order, and very often the lines in the Bible will talk about creation, not after the fall. The fall made it harder. The fall made it harder for married couples to get along, but the order was before the fall. 1 Corinthians 11:9, for man was not created for the woman's sake, but the woman for the man. And it was because Adam, who was first created, then Eve, 1 Timothy 2:13. So the order here was the order of creation. It wasn't based upon a curse. It was the way it was supposed to be. God initiated that in marriage before there was a fall. From the creation, Adam first, then Eve. And again, best to talk things out. But if cannot agree and something has to be done, husband has authority. Verse 6 refers to Sarah. Sarah obeyed Abraham. She called him Lord. That's a quotation of Genesis 18:13. God told Sarah she would have a son. The son's name is Isaac, which means laughter, and she laughed and got that name. And then she laughed and she called Abraham her Lord, her Adonai. He's too old to have kids too, but called him Lord Adonai. Adonai used of God means master. Adonai is used of husbands right there in Genesis 18:13. Communication is best, but if there cannot be an agreement, no more time, then husbands have authority. We've already read verse 7, but switching to that topic, let's read verse 7 again. You husbands likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Word for husband, Andreas, like Andrew the name. We live on Andrew Street. The word for women is gynekos, so we know both of those. Andrus, men. Then it says honor, which again is timao. Timotheus is honoring God. So Paul is telling his co-workers to honor God, and Peter has just said to honor the king, but it's also saying to honor your wives. Honor the king, but honor your wives. That's quite a high position. In John 5:23 and 24, all men should honor the Father as they honor the Son. Talking about the Ten Commandments, Ephesians 6, honor your father and mother. These are all the same Greek words, very high honor. We have it in the book of Revelation at the end of the world. They're to give God honor and glory and blessing, Revelation 5:12. So there are many verses on wives submit. Here it says to honor her, and quite a few words on the references to honor, with a high list of things that are honored. The woman is weaker, but of equal value. Weaker always reminds me of the youthful athletic days, which are gone. But in youthful athletic days, the girl state record holder was in our school, and I would keep running around the track, and she would race for one lap and lose, and I just kept running. She'd race for a second lap and lose, just kept running. Race for a third lap and lose. They're not as strong. Not as strong biologically. But here, honor, with a very high command and a long list of honor, might be biologically weaker, but give honor. Another topic is if they don't give honor, your prayers can be hindered. The Bible gives reasons why prayers are not answered. We won't go off into that topic a lot because we want to keep it on marriage and the family. But 1 John 3, prayers will not be answered because of not obeying God's commandments. 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. Reverse that. We ask, we don't get it because we do not keep his commandments. So the warning here is if a person does not honor his wife, prayer requests will not be as respected as much by God. The word love is not here in 1 Peter 3, but plenty of times in the other verses we just read about marriage. In the Bible, there are two main words for love, agape and philos. Agape is well known from Bible studies. Philos is like Philadelphia, brotherly love. In the Bible, the word for husbands to love their wives is always agape. It's always a committed love. Always a choice and a decision to do what is best, to do what is right. In the Bible, the word for wives to love their husbands is always philos, feelings, emotional type of love. I think probably the ladies are better with feelings. And the men are told to be commit, make a committed love like Jesus loved the church. If there is a committed love towards a wife, it will be easier for her to give good feelings back. And then they're kind of reflected. He who loves his wife loves himself. So I think the husbands mainly have the committed love. She will reflect it back with a more feeling type of love, and he will adapt and get more of a feeling type of love. It is harder for wives to submit when a husband does not have love. It is easier for wives to submit when he has shown that love, when he has shown that the decisions that he would make will also be in her best interest. Peter's teaching concerns both believers and unbelieving husbands to submit anyway, but of course it's a lot easier to submit to a husband who is a believer. We've had God and government. We've had God and work ethics. We've had God in the family. We'll get to verse 8 next time, which is a summary. Look at verse 8. To sum it up, and then he'll give a summary of all of what he's taught before. The musicians, please come.